Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. Chilly North Dakota. It was 61 degrees this morning in the house, so I know, Texas, you're not experiencing that right now, but I know parts of Texas gets cold again, too. But anyway, good morning. This is Thursday, if it all goes well with the programs, program number 19. We did just finish a couple days looking at Israel up close, according to the scriptures again, according to the words of God, not just the Word of God, not just even the word Bible. There's so many different Bibles out there. Everybody says, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Do you have a Bible? Yes. And they're all different. It's just an amazing thing. But anyway, this is a King James only kind of a guy here, so we'll get back to that. So let's get back to the program that we started with on Monday, and that was to look at some of the benefits. What's the gain by looking to Paul? So we talked about the fact that his purpose, Christ himself told Paul face to face, you know, that he was to bear his name, Christ's name, before the Gentiles, he says, kings, and the Jews. He was to tell the Jews that, yes, he was the Son of God. And he was to tell the Gentiles that he was risen again, as well as tell the Jews. But the purpose was to go to the Gentiles. Unfortunately, Paul's purpose also was to suffer for Christ's sake, Christ told him in Acts chapter 9. And then in Acts chapter 26, the purpose of Paul was to open our eyes and to turn us from darkness to light, turn us from the power of Satan unto God, and show us how to do works meet for repentance. Not repentance to get saved and all the law things, but it's just do things now that you are changed, now that Christ has made you his workmanship, now that you are saved, now that you are quickened, our lives should reflect that. And that's doing works meet for repentance. So those are the things that we talked about on Monday. So today, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, and let's look at Paul and as our apostle. Not the 12 in the Gospels, but we see in Paul's writings that we are to follow Paul. And this is the section that, for some reason, pastors and preachers and teachers and missionaries and parents and scholars and all these things, they just skip. They might pull one or two verses out of there, but that's not looking to Paul. That's kind of picking with Paul. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, very simply, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Knowing that Paul is referring to the risen Savior. Okay, when he mentions Christ, he's talking about the risen Savior. So there's our command, if you want to call it that. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, Romans 11 verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And I wonder if I can find in Galatians chapter 2 here, if I'm quick enough with my pretty sad little memory here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Sure. This just a kind of a bunny trail real quick like here. This shows that Paul, but contrarywise in verse 7 it says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's the Gentile, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So we don't follow Peter's teachings. We learn them, but we don't follow them because Peter was the apostle to the gospel of circumcision. That's the Jewish teachings. During the tribulation, Peter will be the man to follow. Peter, writings of John and James and Jude. And so let's get back to Paul here. That was just a quick little sidelight there. Back to Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Not the apostle to the Jews, but apostle of the Gentiles. Now, let's look at a couple of quick verses here. There are 6, 7 references to Paul saying, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Romans 1:1, 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1. He starts his books, all the books that are started by, that we are to look to apply to us, are started with the word Paul, which makes it pretty obvious. And then in most of these cases, he says, a servant of Jesus Christ, for example, called to be an apostle. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So, he's not of the 12, he is of the one that we follow today. Now, one of the things people will say was, well, then, was Paul your Savior? No, Paul was not my Savior. Jesus Christ was my Savior. Jesus, the one that we read about in the Gospels, that came down to the Jews, that they killed, and yet he died and rose again, and he came back to the Gentiles. That's the stuff that I'm talking about here. And just to make sure you realize, look at Romans 16. Just to make sure that you realize that we're still looking to Jesus as our Savior. We're even looking to Jesus as our teacher. But Romans 16 says it absolutely so well. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is Paul's teaching, Ephesians chapter 3. So yes, we are looking to Paul as our apostle. He is our guide, and he's teaching us the preachings of Jesus Christ according to what Paul reveals to us. According to the revelation of the mystery, that's the dispensation of grace, all that's applied to the Gentiles. And I'm hoping for those folks that are still with us, it's because you're still with us because you have understood what this means. And if this is one of your fewer times, and maybe this is your visitor here this morning, this is what we're all about. A King James Bible rightly divided means that we look to a King James Bible to follow Paul's teachings. His teachings are of the resurrected Savior, the risen Savior, and Paul is going to teach us his gospel, his words, his teachings, according to the revelation of the mystery Jesus Christ gave to Paul face to face and personally. So in Romans 2:16, that we will be, our works will be judged by Paul's gospel. Our judgment seat of Christ will be based on our walk, our manner of life, according to Paul's teachings. Not according to the gospel, not according to the Beatitudes, not according to Psalms in the Old Testament, not according to Peter, James, John in a sailboat. Boy, there is a song that's way, way off. Cute song as it is, but we don't need Peter, John, and James. They'll need Peter, John, and James in a sailboat during the tribulation, but not now. Okay. So, with that being said, bunny trails, I'm so good at that. Let's go here to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Okay? So, that's Paul is our apostle by the commandment of God and Savior, and God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our hope, folks. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just flip over a page. 1 Timothy chapter 2, or just go down as part of the page, verse 7. I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Parentheses. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Parentheses. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And faith and verity means it's truth. There's no deception involved here. It's all in agreement with what Christ himself has said. That's in faith and verity. What Christ told Paul to teach to the Gentiles, Christ is saying, I am teaching to the Gentiles. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Now, small bunny trail, a grammatical bunny trail. Remember, when you come to parentheses, go back and read the verse without the parentheses. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. That's what that statement is saying. Then go back and read it again and put the sound of a parentheses in your reading. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He wants us to see that he is the one that we are to look to as our apostle, as our preacher, as our teacher. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy, just over, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So, there's Paul. That's Paul. He's the apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, by the commandment of God. He's a preacher, a teacher, or apostle by the will of God. This is what it needs to be. And when we hear preaching and teaching, it needs to be according to Paul's gospel. Got a quick check here because I'm so slow at this thing, 1625. According to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and that was according to what Christ gave to Paul, Ephesians chapter 3. It's that simple. Now, with that in mind this morning, let's look at the battle that Paul always seemed to go through, and the battle that you will go through if you choose to follow Paul, and Paul only. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just over a little bit from where I think we left off here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And here's the story, Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Paul says to this guy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. W-O-R-D-S. So the very words of the Lord are preserved from this generation to ever. So we got generation to generation to generation. Are these the words of Christ? These are the words of Paul, of which Christ told Paul to teach to the Gentiles, and Paul says, that's exactly what I'm doing. So when people go against Paul, they're going against his words. And they're going against the words of the risen Savior. Does that make sense now? This is what they're doing. And here's an example. Alexander the coppersmith did exactly what people are doing today. Preachers and pastors and missionaries and scholars, you know, they're withstanding against Paul's words. He's withstanding against the words of the risen Savior, which were given to Paul, which were preserved into a King James Bible. And to rightly divide that thing, we know where to look, and that's to Paul. Verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. See, that sounds like Christ, doesn't it? Well, that's what happened with Christ. But the same thing happened with Paul. And I'm sorry to say that in many, many cases of people that I have on my website that I know of around the world, not just in states, but in the countries around the world, when anybody gets a hold of Paul's teachings, gets a hold of a King James rightly divided Bible, your friends are gone. I probably shouldn't say that. But a lot of your friends are going to forsake you when it comes time to a battle here, when it comes time to a testimony. And look what Paul says. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, which we know who the lion is, the devil. He just wanted to stop Paul all the time. So, that's my desire for this radio program. That by Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided, Spirit of God leading us all, through me, just the talker here, the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, that all the Gentiles, all the people in Dallas-Fort Worth would hear. Would hear what? What the risen Savior wants Dallas and Fort Worth to hear. Chances are, in just about all the churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they are not teaching Paul to be their only apostle. They're probably not teaching the King James Bible to be the only Bible. And to make sense of a King James Bible is simple. Just rightly divide the thing and look to Paul. So, the battle is on. Now let's go to Acts chapter 26. Here's what somebody said to Paul when he explained his testimony. Acts 26, the guy's name is Festus, and Paul just got done talking to King Agrippa and gave King Agrippa all the different things that he was told by Jesus on the road. He was telling that to Paul. Verse 16, Jesus told Paul that he was going to make him a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou, meaning Paul, has seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So Jesus was telling Paul, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, was telling Paul that, you know, you and I are going to have some more meetings. I'm going to teach you what I want you to teach to the Gentiles. And that's verse 18, to open their eyes, turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, the response was given by Festus, verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Not angry mad, but nutso, schizo, psycho, a nutcase. Look at verse 23. Here's Paul's ministry. Christ, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That was Paul's message. That's Paul's message today. And besides that, in verse 22, nobody should be surprised. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, Paul said, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So if these people were scholared at all into their scriptures, they should know that the Messiah has come. They should know that they killed him, I guess, and they should know that he died and rose again, and here's Paul to tell everybody what's going on to the Gentiles. And Paul so politely said back to Festus, but he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now go back to Acts 23, and let me show you how people hate Paul's teachings. Back in Paul's day, and I'm telling you from experience of being a pastor and a preacher of this message for the last bunch of years here, this conspiracy still exists. Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him, Paul, and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Well, it didn't go very well in Jerusalem. Now he's told he gets to go to Rome and go through the same thing again. I like that. Be of good cheer. What you just went through in Jerusalem, you're going to get to go to Rome and do the same thing again. But Paul was willing. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together. And they got together and they talked about this guy. They talked about this Paul guy. I wonder if anybody's banding together to talk about this radio program all of a sudden that's talking about Paul and King James Bible, and their teachings from the risen Savior. Anyway, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Boy, that is a determination to get rid of somebody talking about something. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. There's that phrase, more perfectly. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. So, they wanted to kill Paul back in his day. And I can tell you some specific pastors and churches and denominations, Baptists including, King James guys only including, that they are determined to shut down anybody that preaches about Paul only. They got names for him, hyper this and hyper that and all that. You got the mid-acts out there. You've got all sorts of different variations of this stuff. But to simply preach and teach Paul as the apostle, and to get people excited about their Bible again, and to be able to rightly divide that fantastic Bible, that's what this program is all about. Paul is our apostle. Paul is not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. But Jesus Christ, when he died and rose again, when they rejected Stephen as the preacher to get people to get the Jews to realize that they had killed the risen Savior along with Peter talking to him, and they killed Stephen, then the risen Savior went to Paul. and said, Paul, this is what I want you to teach to the Gentiles. That's us today. Dallas, Fort Worth, we're the Gentiles. This is what we need to be being taught. You want to come to the program every morning, God, the goodness of God? Paul is the only one that preaches and teaches and shows us the goodness of God. Now, we will continue this program in the morning. For the next couple mornings, we're going to talk about more of the benefits of following Paul. What was his purpose? What did Christ want him to accomplish on this earth as a ministry and as our minister and our preacher and teacher and apostle, by the will of God, of course? And let's look into more of those things. We will talk about prayer, how exciting prayer can be if you really know what it is that God would have us talk to him about. All sorts of things, unsearchable riches of Christ, quiet and peaceable life, how to get comfort out of Timothy and Titus, what is sound doctrine, just marvelous things. Those are the goodness of God. So let's go to Matthew 22:16. I want to show you something else. We have talked about this before, but it won't hurt to bring it up again. Matthew 22:16. Matthew 22:16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Statement being, thou teachest the way of God. Jesus taught the way of God. No doubt, we all believe that. Luke chapter 20. Go to Luke chapter 20. We'll see it again. Luke chapter 20, verse 21. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God, truly. So we know that Jesus taught the way of God. We know that Jesus was the God manifest in the flesh. It says that in Timothy, by the way, from Paul. So we're looking to Jesus teaching the way of God. Let's go to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's go back to Mark chapter 12. We'll see the same thing again. Mark 12, verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. So, everybody there, you know, when they believe that Jesus was who Jesus was as far as teaching the way of God, Master, we know that thou art teaching the way of God. So let's go to Acts chapter 18. We've talked about this. Acts chapter 18, we go to verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, good, and being fervent in the spirit, he was good and excited, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he taught the Gospels from what John had been teaching. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, that's good, in the Jewish synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. More perfectly. So there's that phrase, expounded unto him the way of God, which is what Jesus taught. But then we have the phrase, more perfectly. Now, we quick go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16, and let's see what the word perfect is meaning. We look at the, in a King James Bible, word to define, by going back to the first time that word is used and see how it's used in the sentence, and that defines the word. It's very simple. Now, all the work of Solomon was prepared until the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, verse 16, chapter 8, 2 Chronicles. And it was finished. So the house of the Lord was perfected. So when you see the word perfect, perfectly, it's finished. So Jesus was teaching the way of God. But now since Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried, rose again, going down to the Gentiles, that's the way of God, more perfectly. There's more being done now, more perfectly. It's being finished even that much more. That's why when they say it was finished at the cross, well, it really wasn't finished at the cross. There's more coming. And that's through the risen Savior. Just because he died and buried and rose again, the story's not over. He still has to come back, second coming. Everybody believes that. But what about between there, this Gentile thing? Christ goes down to the Gentiles with a dispensation of grace and gives them everything that he had for the Jews. Romans chapter 11 explains that. But there will come a time where this goodness of God that the Gentiles are being taught by Paul from the risen Savior, there's going to come a time when the Gentiles are no longer interested, and they're going to throw it away, and God says, okay, you're done with the goodness of God, you're done with my goodness, then I'm done to the Gentile nation. He cuts them off, rapture wraps, and goes on to the tribulation. So until that rapture gets raptured, we need to stick to Paul as our only apostle and stick to a King James Bible and read that thing. And by the way, this is the only Bible you will find any of this and all of this in. And it worked well for 400 years. How come all of a sudden it doesn't make sense? No, it makes total sense. The devil has got to get rid of this book. He's got to get rid of rightly dividing. He's got to get rid of Paul. And he's using people to destroy the teachings of Paul and all the churches in this country and the world. So there you have it. The way of God more perfectly, a more excellent way, Paul says. So we'll continue this tomorrow. Purposes and benefits from following Paul in our King James Bible.